morning's scripture is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If you're using a Bible under your seat, it can be found on page 560. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be gracious ornaments on your head and chains about your neck.
You know, Mother's Day is a very special day. It was first suggested in 1872 by a woman by the name of Julia Ward Howe of Boston, Massachusetts. She's also the same woman who, and the same person who wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wanted a day that recognized mothers and also promoted peace. In 1907, Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began to campaign to establish a national Mother's Day. You see, she had persuaded her mother's church back in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on that second Sunday in May. She even went on a campaign. She began to write to preachers, to politicians, to business leaders to do the same. And finally, Woodrow Wilson in 1914 put his stamp of approval on it. The second Sunday of May would be deemed as Mother's Day. Certainly we owe Mrs. Julia Ward Howe and Mrs. Anna Jarvis much gratitude for promoting, introducing such a day as Mother's Day to us. We owe gratitude to, and we're thankful for President Woodrow Wilson for that great proclamation to honor our mothers. However, are you aware that this solemn and this respectful act of honoring our parents is not just an American thing? Folks, it's a humanitarian thing. Today, I would like for us to explore the subject of honoring our mothers, and I would like to do so with a very simple approach. How to do it. How to honor our mothers. For some, that might seem like an easy proposition. Honoring our mothers. If so, I'm glad to know it. But for others who are still trying to figure this thing out, I want to suggest four quick things for you. The first is this, on how to honor our mothers. It is this. It is to listen to them. I want you to think about how life seems to just make one big circle. And what I mean by that is this. When we are born into this world, we are totally dependent on our parents. Totally dependent upon them. They feed us. They clothe us. They bathe us. They teach us how to walk. They teach us how to talk. In our precious little minds, there's no one like our parents. They're bigger than life. As a matter of fact, our life would be nothing without them. Then something strange happens when we become teenagers. All of a sudden, our parents, they are transformed into the oddest, strangest, perhaps most ignorant people on the face of the earth. Something went horribly wrong with Mom and Dad when we became teenagers. They say and do things that embarrass us. All of a sudden, they turn into these mean, ruthless ogres. They make us do chores. They make us clean our rooms. They make us take out the trash. They even make us brush our teeth. The gall of some people. But not only are they ruthless dictators, they feel entitled to give us advice about life. They feel entitled to give us a lecture when we mess up. Hey, Mom and Dad, FYI, I've got it all under control, he says, as he's on day 3 of wearing his underwear. And this advice thing that they're giving us, it's real serious stuff about how to make good choices, godly choices. It's about education, dating, marriage, careers, kids, Christianity, finances, and so forth. After we get out of those teen years and we become adults, well, at least on paper, we begin to experience some of those things that dear old Mom and Dad have been lecturing us about for years. For instance, I remember this very vividly. After I graduated from college, my mom, she informed me, on this date of every month, you will be getting what is known as a student loan bill from Oak Hill Savings Bank out of Jackson, Ohio. Sure, okay. The next month rolled around after graduation, and about the time she told me that bill would arrive, guess what? She was right. It came. I was shocked. So this is what a student loan looks like. I don't even make this much money. Can you believe that my mom even gave me advice on dating? It's true. She advised me to be sure that the girl that I dated, she's a good girl, she's a godly girl. She'll make you a good wife if she's got good morals and values, and she'll be a good mother to your children. Those of you that have been in my classes, in the young teenage classes, for a long time, Zach, I'm going to put you on the spot. So wake up. Go ahead. Wake up. You date the mate, you plan to what? You date the mate, you plan to marry. Zach, are you planning on getting married? Uh-huh. Did you date the person you're marrying? That's an easy one, Zach. Yeah. Do you know where I got that advice? From my mom. I got that advice from my mom. Do you know what other types of advice she gave me? She gave me advice on how to choose good friends. Friends that make good decisions. Friends that are not getting in trouble. Because if they're getting in trouble, it only stands to reason that Scotty's going to get in trouble. You have your Bibles, and they're in Proverbs chapter 1. Jim read for us this morning. I think this is interesting when you read this and you look in Proverbs chapter 1 beginning in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Isn't that interesting? I think Solomon knew what we're all saying right now. Ain't nobody happy if mama ain't happy. A salesman came to the door yesterday, tried to sell me something. I said, wait a minute, I got to go get the boss. For they will be a graceful ornament around your head and chains about your neck. This is a metaphor. Do you know what Solomon is saying? He's saying that the son, the daughter, the child that adheres to what their parents are saying, he's saying, man, that is such a beautiful picture. Young people, you'll understand this one of these days. When you have kids, and as you're growing up and becoming mature men and women,
you'll look back, and when you see a child who is obedient and respectful to their elders and to their parents, it's a beautiful sight to behold. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us work secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Come on, let's go, guys. Let's do this. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Yes, the Apostle Paul would even tell those saints in Corinth that evil company corrupts good habits. As a matter of fact, the Bible says only a fool despises instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. So you want to honor your mother? Listen to what she is saying. Two, I want to encourage you to do what she's saying. This is the next level after you hear what she is saying. You know, there is much wisdom in doing what a wise person tells you to do. That's what Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Question, so why is it wise to listen to your parents? The Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? Because God says so. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. Children, don't you love it whenever your parents tell you to do something and you say, why? And they say, because I said so. But it's not just because God said so. The Apostle Paul says that God commands us to obey our parents, and in so doing, we'll live a long life on this earth. Friends, this reveals the value and the wisdom of what our parents are telling us to do. I cannot look back and think of any time in my life when my mom or my dad has given me advice or told me to do something that was harmful to me. Oh, wait a minute, there was that one time. My dad told me to grab the electric fence. But we won't go there. I'm hoping that he thought that thing was off. Because it wasn't! We'll talk about that another day. I'm still scarred from that. Friends, this is what Paul is commanding our children to do. He is saying, listen to your mom and your dad. Obey them. They have your best interest in mind. The advice, the information that they are sharing with you, it is good advice. It is godly advice. And it's going to save you a whole lot of headaches and heartaches in the future if you listen to them and do what they tell you to do. Let's talk about headache and heartaches for a moment. I'm not talking about the headaches and the heartaches of the children. I'm talking about the headaches and the heartaches of the parents. Kid, do you want to know how to literally break your mom and dad's heart? Defy them and disobey them. You'll break their hearts. You'll bring about shame and sorrow in their lives. Again, Solomon would say in Proverbs in chapter 10 in verse 1, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. The Hebrew word there for grief also means heaviness. She has a heavy heart, sorrow. That's what it means. You literally break her heart when you don't listen to her and do what she tells you to do. Young people, one of the hardest images that I have to live with the rest of my life were the times in my life when I made bad decisions, poor choices, choices that I knew that my mom would not be happy with. And the times that I remember breaking her heart and her sitting down and crying. Those are hard images to live with. If you don't want to live with those images the rest of your life, the heartaches, the headaches, listen to what your moms and your dads are telling you and do it. They really do know what they're talking about. A third way to honor them is to embrace the values that they instill within us. A passage that stands out in my mind is in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul, for all intents and purposes, is conceding death here. And before he dies, he wants those that are near and dear to him in his life, in his faith, in his Christian walk, to be with him by his bedside. Wow. That's no different than any of us, is it? And he's calling on Timothy to come to him. I'll begin reading in verse 3. Listen carefully to what Paul says. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, here it comes, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. I thank God for mothers like Lois and Eunice. I thank God for mothers who invest so much of their time, their energy, their effort to pass down their faith, their values, and their virtues to their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren. You see, that's a true legacy there. I want you to think about the first Christian lullaby you heard. I would bet the first Christian lullaby you ever heard in your life was sung to you or sang to you by your mother. I want you to think about the first Bible story you heard as a child. I bet it was told to you by your mother. I want you to think about those moments of anxiety or thanksgiving in your life. I bet it was your mom telling you, kids, pray. I want you to think about the times in your life when you were frightened and scared to death. I bet it was your mom who comforted you, reminding you, God will protect you. He's not going to let anything happen to you. How do we honor our moms for such a virtuous grounding? First, by telling her thank you. But second, by repeating those very values and virtues with your children and future generations in your family. Finally, esteem them. If you want to honor your mothers, highly esteem them. The word esteem means obviously to honor and respect them. When God gave the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel, it was commandment number 5. Honor or respect your father and your mother. Friends, these are truly sad times that we are living in with regards to children respecting their parents or their elders. I'm reminded of a boy of about 11 or 12 years old who was out eating dinner with his family one time. He was so disrespectful to his mom and to his dad. Finally, a total stranger went up to the dinner table and looked at those parents and said, "I'm so sorry. I am so sorry." And she wasn't apologizing for the meal. She was apologizing because there was a rebellious child sitting at the table who made it his life's ambition to have his say and have his way. So sad. But you see, this is the world that we live in. I'm all for children's rights, believe me. But I'm also an advocate of parents' rights as well. And if we teach a generation of children that they can disrespect their parents, friends, there is no authority they will respect. I have seen a young man stand over his father's casket who rebelled against his father and pleaded with the audience and his dad to forgive him for not listening to him and not loving him the way he should. It just literally broke my heart to see that. He lives with that every day of his life. We need to listen to our mothers, obey them, embrace their values that they handed down to us, and esteem them. Why? You get the picture, don't you? They love us. They love us. Our parents love us more than they love their own lives. Did you know that? Our parents, their love for us, it is so enormous that words cannot depict it. A picture cannot even accurately or adequately capture it. My final story is this. About 2 years ago, one of the Sons of Thunder was in a baseball game. I don't need to say any more. You know who those are. And a baseball was hit out to right field. The little boy of about 8 or 9 years old went to pick the ball up, and he was booting it around. Now, you got to keep in mind the imagery here. There's a couple runners on base, and everybody's screaming and yelling. You've got the fans from the visitor's team screaming, "Go, go, go!" And you got the home fans screaming, "Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up!" And he's got his own teammates yelling at him, "Here, here, throw the ball to me, throw the ball to me!" And he's fumbling the ball around, and he can't. And finally, he gets his little hand on the ball, and he looks up, and he listens to the crowd. "Go, go, go! Throw it in! Do something with it! Throw it in!" And he begins to cry. And he drops the ball. And he drops his head. I know this is not etiquette for baseball. But do you know who ran out on that field and hugged that little boy? His mama. And the umpire just let her go. He talks to her after the game, "Man, you really shouldn't be doing that. Are you kidding me? I'm his mom." Don't you ever forget that. There are no boundaries for a parent's love for their children. None. None. And you teenagers, when you grow up, and then you finally figure out, my parents weren't such big oddballs after all. someday, if you'll just listen to me, you will find yourself saying, oh my goodness, I'm acting just like my mom or my dad. You'll catch yourself, I promise you it's going to happen. And you'll realize that's not such a bad person after all. Mothers, we honor you. We love you. And we thank you for loving us and being dedicated and loyal to us. Thank you for being here. You could be other places. You could be doing other things. But you're here. You're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You're laying a good, godly foundation for these children to stand on and build their lives on and pass down from generation to generation. Thank you for that. Keep it up. Now, the invitation this morning, this would be awkward during the invitation. All of you who want to be mothers, come to the front row. We're not going to go there. That's not what this is about. But what this is about, teaching us how to be godly mothers and godly fathers and godly sons and godly daughters. And if you're not a Christian, begin that life of godliness right now. Come forward this morning, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins and live for Jesus. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you faltered. You've fallen. You want to restore your relationship with God and God's children. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward together. We stand and we sing.